Welcome to the Wisdom Lifestyle Money Show. I'm your host, Scott Dillingham. The goal of the show is to show you how you can grow personally, financially, have a larger net worth, and leverage your largest asset to help develop you into the person you want to be. I take you through all the steps I did coming from nothing, being told I was nobody and that I was never going to accomplish anything, getting kicked out of high school, to owning a multi-million dollar real estate portfolio and my own company. You'll meet our partners, you'll meet our friends, and you'll quickly discover how you can improve your life. So listen in and enjoy the show. Welcome to the Wisdom Lifestyle Money Show. I'm your host, Scott Dillingham. Today, I've got a special guest with us, Paul D'Abruzzo. He is an investor-focused realtor, and he's also a developer in and around the GTA. So welcome, Paul.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Yeah, no worries, no worries. So Paul, whenever I start these shows, I always like to find out a little bit about your history and your background to find out, you know, what made you so successful and who you are today. So do you mind sharing some of your background and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, no problem. I'll let you know kind of what I'm doing today, and then maybe we'll go back in time a bit. We're investor-focused realtors. I mean, that's kind of our bread and butter and what we do. Basically, what that means is we're realtors. However, we focus on working with investors, and they could be small investors, big investors, small properties, big properties, anything from single-family homes and pre-construction condos all the way up to, you know, small multifamily, large multifamily, land developments, anything to do with investment is kind of where our specialty is. And we have a lot of resources and expertise in all these different sub-strategies and student rentals and infill developments and all kinds of stuff like that, where investors find us helpful and they want to stay with us and use our mentorship over the long term. But to get to that point, we had to, you know, grow our own portfolios also. I mean, in this business and in this niche, let's call it, you kind of have to walk your talk. You can't be an investor focused person, at least in my opinion, without being an investor yourself. And I think, you know, you believe that too, Scott, which is why we get along. I mean, I know you work with a lot of investors, but you're also a real estate investor yourself, and that helps you have a proper, authentic conversation with people. So, you know, authenticity is really important to us. And, you know, in our own portfolio, beyond, you know, all the rental properties we have, you know, we've gotten involved in development. And, you know, that in order to achieve a place of, you know, financial freedom for us, you know, it was important that our portfolio created future income, you know, say cash flow and wealth generation with all these rental properties, and now income, you know, money goes in, money comes back out with profit. And, you know, some people do that with flips or private mortgages. And, you know, we decided to kind of specialize in developments, and it could be small infill type developments or medium-sized developments, building six units, which we're doing now, 9 units. I have 2 projects that are 9 units. We just finished building 18 townhouses. We're about to build 26 townhouses starting later this year. And those are projects that create now income for us inside our portfolio. But if you're listening to this and that's somewhere you kind of want to get to, you know, we didn't start there. We started with, you know, one single rental property. So if you're starting from scratch, I mean, you kind of have to work your way up there. And when I was, you know, younger, I had no zero aspirations to become a real estate investor, to be honest. I mean, when I was younger, my biggest dream was to become a firefighter, believe it or not. And at one point, I did do that. I was a firefighter in the city of Toronto for 10 years. And I retired a few years ago now. And one of the hardest things I ever had to do in my life, because I really did like that job. I think it's one of the best jobs in the world. But it was getting a little bit too much for me. And nothing bad to say about the job itself. It was I was a full-time fireman, I was a full-time husband, a full-time father to 3 daughters. You know, never mind a full-time property investor with multiple rental properties, then becoming a developer and being an investor-focused realtor, having a team to manage. It was a lot to take on, and, you know, I had to give up. In order to move forward in my life, I had to take one step back before taking 3 steps forward. And you know, after a lot of, you know, hard thinking and contemplating, I decided to kind of give up that part of my life, you know, to focus on, you know, being an investor and helping other people kind of do the same, if that makes any sense. And
yeah, for sure.
You know, I didn't have any handouts, I promise. You know, I bought my first property in Hamilton, Ontario. I live in Oakville now, but I bought my first property in Hamilton in 2009 or 2010, something like that, for $238,000. And that one property turned to two, and then three, and then four, and then six, and then eight, and then 10, and then, you know, on and on and on. I just kept accumulating properties. And I really didn't have any help from my parents. You know, God bless them, but they were, you know, my parents were split up, divorced when I was 6 months old. I grew up for the most part with my mom and my grandparents, and in my grandparents' house. And they were old school Europeans, you know, Italian, you know, really no English speaking in the household. And, you know, they taught me about hard work, and that's kind of what they did when they came to this country. They just worked their tails off to kind of make a better life for themselves and their kids. And that's what I kind of took from them. So that's why I, you know, wanted to get a JOB and become a fireman. But there's nothing wrong with that. But if your goal is financial freedom, and if your goal is to kind of not be tied down to a job and have options in your life, having a JOB in our current society is going to handcuff you in a lot of ways. You can still definitely start by getting rental properties, but for me, I had to kind of let myself go and be have the freedom of being in business to get to where I wanted to go. So that's kind of in as quick as I can tell you where I came from.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you know what? That is one of the things that I really, really respect about you. Is I remember when I first met you, like you said, you were a full-time fireman, full-time husband, full-time investor, full-time realtor. Like, you were going at it from all angles, and you still have that, but now you don't have the full-time fireman, right? So you can really focus on the real estate, you know, whether it's development or, you know, working with clients as a realtor. So I do really respect that about you, because not a lot of people have that same drive. So I think that's a really cool thing. And
one thing to add to that, and you know, what I ended up learning the hard way, was that, you know, you regardless of what your business is or what your investing style is, you know, you have to have an ROL. You know, ROI is important, but without the ROL, without the return on your lifestyle, what's the point, right? And that's a term I coined, you know, about 5 years ago, and I started when I learned the hard way myself that I wasn't getting a return on my lifestyle. I had all these assets, but I wasn't enjoying my life anymore. I had to get a return on lifestyle. So if you're starting out, just remember, it doesn't matter whether you have 5 or 10 or 20 properties or what kind of cash flow number you have. Whatever investments you're doing, they have to improve your lifestyle. They have to help you quit your job, or help you spend more time with your kids or your wife, or help you, you know, work less so you can play more. Whatever that ROL definition for you is, I think that's what your ultimate goal has to be and should be.
Yeah, no, I agree. I love that. I love that philosophy. Now, what was it like? What was your turning point? I remember mine clearly, but what was your turning point when you decided, hey, I want to invest in real estate, I want to do this? Can you describe that?
Yeah, I know. I'll make the story as brief as possible, but like, I was 23 years old. And back then I was reading books. I probably read like 150 books between like the age of like 20 and 23. You can see some of my favorite ones still on my bookshelf here. And you know, I was just in a phase of learning and absorbing information, because I knew kind of I didn't want to work for 50 years and, you know, hopefully retire on a pension kind of thing. So I was attending conferences, and I attended this conference called Millionaire Mind Intensive in Toronto, from a guy put it on. His name was T. Harv Eker. And some of you listening might know this one. He has a book called The Millionaire Mind. Great book if you're getting into that, you know, kind of law of attraction and how to attract kind of money into your life. Anyway, so I attended this conference, and very good, very eye-opening for me at that time, at that age. And he was, of course, he's, you know, big time salesman, and he was selling other courses at his conference, right? So, and there was one that stuck out for me. It was the conference was called Never Work Again, and it was a conference in California. where you would go and you learn about, you know, all kinds of different passive income strategies so you never have to work again. That was the premise. And that just, like, my eyes lit up. And I'm like, I paid for it on my credit card at the time and then figured out how to pay back my credit card because I was poor. Right? And went to California by myself. And I remember being there, and there was, must have been like 700-800 people there. I remember in this big conference room in Santa Barbara, California. And they started to do this thing, like, everybody under 30 stand up, and then everybody under 29, under 28, 27, 26, 25, 24. 20. And when he got to 23, it was me and one other kid at the other side of the room standing up. And I'm like, please don't let me be a little gun. And he said 22, and I sat down, right? This kid who was 21 or 22 was the youngest person there, and he got pulled on stage and they did this whole thing. And that was a turning point for me. I'm like, holy shit, like, I have an opportunity here that if I learn these strategies and I start implementing them now, by the time I'm 30 or 32 or 33, give me, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, I can really set myself up for the rest of my life. And that's kind of the journey I kind of embarked on at that point.
No, I love it. That's an awesome story. Super cool. Mine is so much more basic. You know, I just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I love your story. Yeah, it's such a good book to get started, right? That was the catalyst. And then obviously I read a whole bunch more. And then, you know, I learned best by doing. So I started getting out there and just doing. And then here we are. So, no, that's awesome. Cool. So I want to talk and spend the rest of our time here talking about some of the development opportunities that you have. Now, I know for the listeners here, they're probably curious about returns and how much they can make and stuff if they decide to invest with you. And I know that we can't go over those details, and it's, you know, property by property, project by project, it's different. But I'd like to talk about the opportunity and how you kind of use investors' money to help grow their money and grow, you know, the development portfolio.
Yeah, got it. I mean, in some of these bigger projects, I mean, it takes a significant amount of capital to, you know, funding, money, cash to, it needs to be infused into the project to get everything going and make sure we have enough funding to make everything go forward. You know, development is capital heavy at times. And, you know, of course, some of the smaller ones we've been able to fund ourselves, like I've done it, or just me and a partner. But some of these bigger projects where, you know, we built 18 townhouses and we're building 26, you know, we needed a cash infusion of about $3.3 million. And, you know, that's not always, even if I did have the money, it's probably not always the best use of the money. And I think when you get to that point where you're doing projects of that size, it's just natural to want to collaborate and get more people involved. So we created, we're using a very simple structure called a GP-LP structure, where myself and my development partner, Mr. Drew Toth, and I are the GPs, which means a general partner. And we have investors who are funding, you know, the $3.3 million, and they're called LPs, they're limited partners. So what the real difference is that we're equal, we own equal shares of the project, of the corporation. The big difference is that Drew and I are general partners, means we call the shots. We drive the development because we're experienced and we know what we're doing. And the limited partners have an equal share. They make as much money as we do, equal share, equal risk too. But, you know, they're passive in a sense where they let us do the work and they collect the check, right? And the benefit of doing that is that what I just kind of touched on is that you get to participate in returns at the developer level. And I can tell you development is profitable or nobody would do it. And it's got to be profitable because there is risks involved and it is a lot of work. And so you get to participate at our level of profit, you know, but mitigate your risk tremendously. Although you're participating in the same risk we are, we know what we're doing, and we're not about to put our entire reputations, our entire portfolios, our entire lifestyle at risk by, you know, going overboard and screwing up an investment. Because when we go and get construction financing for these developments, we're putting up our own guarantees, not yours. It's just your money is in there and you're participating with us. It's like a big joint venture, if that makes any sense, Scott.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. It does to me. And I think the way that you explain it, it'll make sense to even somebody just getting started. So can you work with anybody? Like, can anybody give you money? Is there a minimum? Do they have to have so much net worth? Can you touch on that?
Yeah, it depends on the project. Like if it's, you know, if I'm doing, we're doing something smaller and we're participating in a, it's more of a joint venture, then yeah, it can be anybody, you know, and we need enough money to do the project. But on these projects, some of these more lucrative ones that are, we have this GPLP joint venture structure. Yeah, we're taking minimum investments of 50 to 100,000. So in that range, most people are in. And it, in the contract, you have to fit into a category. You either have to be an accredited investor, or you need to have a previous personal or business relationship with me or any of the other general partners. So we have to know each other from a business perspective. Maybe we've done a real estate deal in the past before, or we've attended meetings together. We have a, you know, a documentable relationship. We've been communicating for a while, or we're personal friends of that nature. And, you know, even if we're not personal friends, you know, or business associates, that's documented, we might have to become, you know, friends in, on that level before you can kind of invest in it. And those are the rules that are kind of set out. And, you know, we want to follow them. We don't want to skirt the rules and get ourselves into trouble over one project.
No, yeah, that makes sense. I fully agree. So what we'll do is, like, at the end of this, we'll have a link or something, and we can discuss this after on how, you know, a client who might be interested in investing with you, how they sort of get started. So we'll put that in the bottom of this video. And if you're listening via, you know, any podcasting platform, we'll put the link there. So I don't want to stale date this, but is there a project or opportunity for, if somebody's listening to this now, that they could invest in? Could you tell us a little bit about what that looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a few projects or one larger project's happening in Welland, Ontario. And, you know, briefly, you know, we purchased the north and the northwest parking lots of the Seaway Mall in Welland. And we're repurposing that, you know, empty parking lot into, you know, a very dense residential development. And, you know, we have a presentation on all this, and I get from what Scott's saying, we can link a recording to the presentation, or we can even, Scott, if you do have enough demand and people want to know about what we're doing and want to participate, we can do a live call just for your people. I'm happy to do that. And we can talk about this. But if you're picturing it in your mind, you know, we've taken this large space, I think it's about 5 or 6 acres, if I'm not mistaken. We've, you know, through the development of the land and the site plan approval process, we've carved that up into 15 different blocks of residential development. And each of those blocks has some unique characteristics, and there'll be different developments on them. So our first foray, or the first building we're going to be doing on this entire site is going to be on block 4 of 15, and it's going to be 26 townhomes we're going to be building. And you know, we're raising capital for that. We're almost done, getting very close to $3 million raise, to be honest. But because we have so many blocks, we're probably going to do a second one in tandem, either a block 5 or a block 2, whatever one makes the most sense, and do another 26. So we have the capacity to raise another, you know, $3 million or so, and have more people kind of participate in the profits that this development will take in over the next couple of years.
That's awesome. I love it, Paul. And you were discussing this project with me prior too. And it seems exciting, and Welland's got a lot of good stuff going on. So I'm excited about the project, just like I'm sure you are.
Yeah, it's we're very excited. I mean, it's a fantastic location. I mean, I guess I'm biased, but it's one of the best locations in all of Welland, and one of the best in Niagara too. And, you know, they're very pro growth there, and we're starting from scratch. And so there's lots of money on the table for everybody to kind of participate and earn a good return. And it's been popular, you know, for some strange reasons where, you know, even I couldn't predict. I mean, given what's happening with interest rates And in the last year, year and a half or so, and it's become challenging for a lot of people to qualify on, with residential financing. You know, people with some cash on the sidelines still want to invest, but if the qualification's not there, they've been able to invest with us and still get a good return on their money, you know, and not leave their cash in a bank account, you know, getting killed by inflation. So that's that was a very unique piece of feedback we've gotten from a number of people who've kind of invested with us. And so that's something to just take into consideration, because, you know, the economic climate is what it is. You know, there's such a demand for new housing in Ontario, it's almost insatiable. But with inflation the way it is and interest rates the way it is, people still need to have a good place for their money to live and grow. So I think that's important to mention to everybody.
Yep. No, I fully agree. Now, we keep these episodes short on purpose. We've done some research about, you know, listening, and, you know, people listen around 20 to 30 minutes. So we have to wrap up. But is there any final message or anything that you'd like to say to the audience today that maybe you could inspire them, or a call to action or anything like that?
Yeah, maybe a couple things. One other thing that's, and I'm getting this feedback from some of the people who are investing with us in the project, is that, you know, this is a very unique opportunity to also learn about development also while getting involved and profiting. Now, that's how I learned. When I was learning development, there was no university course or college course or even book to read about how do I do this. It was, I met a developer, actually Drew Toth, my partner now, and he was doing this small, very small development. I said, hey, you know what? I'll put up the money. You do all the development. I just want to follow you along and learn what you're doing so that I can do it myself in the future. And that was probably that was my university course on how to develop, right? So what we're doing for investors who are joining us is we're having a monthly call. Last Thursday of every month, you know, 20, 30 minutes, we're just sharing the progress as we move forward in our site plan process and fulfilling conditions. So you see what's going on and you learn. And if you want to get started and do a small, you know, infill project or sever a lot or something very small, that you know the process and it gives you some confidence. And I think if there's a call to action, Scott, I think it's if you have, you know, a few people who want to learn about this and learn what we're doing and why it's important and why it would be a good investment, that we host a call for people. So maybe you can put a link to for people to, you know, register their interest. Or if there are just a few people who want to know more, we can send them the recording, and we have a presentation recorded where you can get, you know, all the information you're ever looking for.
Yeah, no, that's perfect, Paul. We will do that. And we'll even put this sort of in our email marketing system, so we can reach out to the investors through there that are looking for these types of opportunities. So that's awesome. Well, Paul, I really appreciate you for coming on and sharing your expertise and talking about, you know, what's new. Because you said it, actually, there's a lot of people that have money in the bank and they don't know what to invest in right now. And I do see this as a great opportunity. There's, you know, there's lots of great opportunities out there, but you have to work with experts and people you trust and understand the process, right? You don't want to invest in something you don't understand. So I think it's super cool that you guys have the monthly videos about this as well, so people can, you know, pay attention and learn and grow. So it's super cool. But so thanks so much, Paul, for coming on. I look forward to airing this. It should be live next week. And we'll chat soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Scott, look forward to having a call with your people.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
If you're serious about investing and you want to get to the next level of your life with the least amount of time and without all the mistakes, then you're going to want to sign up for our club. It's only $29.95 a month. To join, visit invest.lendcity.ca. That's invest.lendcity.ca. Inside, you can chat with me and you'll learn about all the investments that we're speaking of in our episodes. We have classes and courses that you can join, as well as the networking opportunities you have with your peers and other experienced investors that are inside the club to help you to grow. We look forward to seeing you on the inside. And as a bonus, this membership is free for all of our mortgage customers. See you soon.